Hello, I'm Lori Watanabe, the editor of Mobility Management Magazine. Thanks for being back with us for another Mobility Management podcast. And for this episode, I'm talking to Bill Mixon, CEO of National Seating and Mobility, and Anne Mahaffey, NSM's Chief Human Resources Officer, to talk about reimagining the successful CRT workplace of the future. So a little bit about Bill Mixon. He has 29 years of experience across the healthcare and professional services industries and more than 16 years of experience in general management, president, and CEO roles. Immediately prior to joining NSM, Bill served as president for Universal Hospital Services, the largest provider of clinically focused asset management solutions and services involving mobile medical technology to the U.S. healthcare industry. During 11 years at Philips Medical Systems, Bill managed Philips' North American service and installation businesses, consisting of 9 functional business units with 3,500 employees and more than $1 billion in revenue. And a little background on Anne Mahaffey. She brings more than 25 years of experience to NSM managing, developing, and delivering HR strategies for large multi-site operations, including Sears and Roebuck. Anne is responsible for developing human capital strategies to support NSM's corporate objectives, talent acquisition, performance management, organizational structure, total rewards programs, and building a high-performance culture. And this podcast is sponsored by National Seating and Mobility. NSM is North America's premier provider of customized mobility, home, and vehicle accessibility, and a full-service equipment maintenance and repair solutions for people with mobility needs. NSM provides 360-degree complete mobility solutions to meet needs ranging from the simple to the complex. And that could mean customizing a power wheelchair to maximize comfort and independence, or installing a chairlift to access the second floor of a home, or simply repairing existing equipment to keep clients moving. No matter what is needed, NSM has the innovative products and reliable team of experts to keep clients and families moving so they can enjoy life to the fullest wherever that takes them. So Bill and Anne, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Lori. It's great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for inviting us, Lori.
Well, this is such an exciting topic to me because we're going to be talking about what the successful workplace will look like in the future. And it's one of the concepts that you discussed at length. You spent a lot of time on this during your annual seating symposium, which you held virtually in February. And Bill, I listened to your keynote, which included a conversation with Anne. And from that talk, it became clear to me that NSM has learned a lot from this pandemic. You've observed what's worked well. And today you want to share some of what you learned with colleagues in the industry because you believe these perspectives and ideas are things we could all benefit from. So they're certainly not just for NSM, and in fact, probably not just for CRT or accessibility either. So let's talk about what you learned to start. So many new challenges on so many fronts. For instance, at home, parents had to homeschool children and their childcare became less reliable, while at work, operations were challenged by clinic closures, supply chain issues, et cetera. And in that keynote conversation, you talked about how NSM had to become more flexible with your team members. So can you give me some examples of situations in which you were able to offer flexibility and how that helped your team members both on the job and at home?
Sure, Lori. And it's great to be with you, by the way. You know, the pandemic really altered our way of life in many ways. It changed the way that people looked at all aspects of their lives, including, you know, their relationship with work. Because of this, retention and our relationship with our employees, it's gotten a little more complicated. In our business, as you know, people and the equipment and the technology that we use to serve those folks, our clients, are the most important resources that, you know, we have, and they're needed for us to provide the excellent service that we provide. And both of those, over the past 12 to 24 months, have become a challenge. For these reasons, our people's strategy shifted to a more progressive approach. So we're working, as we've talked and as you've commented here, we're working on embracing new strategies relative to our human capital that better position us to recruit, train, and retain the best employees in the industry.
Yes, Bill, as you mentioned, you know, COVID has changed us, including how we feel about our work. I think all of us through COVID spent more time with family, and we realized that work-life balance is a higher priority to us. As we experienced that, I think that many families reevaluated how they live through COVID, a lot of them learning to live with less income in a COVID world. So, you know, as vaccines became available and people had these new experiences, they didn't return to work like we thought we would. They wanted to return to work with different requirements. We began noticing last year that candidates were asking about different things than we heard them ask about pre-COVID. We heard candidates asking more about flexibility in how they work, where they work. They also really wanted to make sure that their job supports their families and their work-life balance. In fact, flexible work schedules right now may be more highly valued than income. So we need to be responsive to this new world of work by providing more alternative work options, doing more flexibility around scheduling, piloting things like a compressed work week where people work a 40-hour schedule, but they may do that in 4 days or even 4.5 days. We're seeing much more interest in part-time work where people are, you know, only willing to work 25 or 30 hours a week. And that's where we're exploring job sharing opportunities. And we're embracing this new work at home or hybrid work approach where people work some days in the office and some days at home where possible because people are desiring that. So we're developing a Workplace of the Future program to really implement some of these scheduling options and also just exploring other fresh ideas that will be critical to the stability of staffing at NSM across our locations. So while this will look different from market to market, because different parts of the country have different interests and demands, we're working hard to position NSM as the employer of choice by really listening to what people are seeking.
That's really interesting, what you said about what you started noticing when people started coming back and as you were interviewing to bring new folks on board. I know labor shortages have been a huge concern across the country. And to me, at the start, it was a little puzzling because intuitively, I would have expected people to hold on to their jobs more tightly in uncertain times. And that's kind of not what we saw. We saw across all industries that people are leaving their jobs if they find them to be unfulfilling in some ways. And now employers are scrambling to keep their staffing up as a result. So you talked a little bit about being more flexible and that you started hearing different things from people coming into, you know, doing interviews and that sort of thing. I imagine that that must have been challenging at the start because NSM has been in this business a long time. You both are executives who've been doing this a long time. And all of a sudden you're hearing very different, maybe very different questions or very different priorities. So as a group, did you have to really shift what you were doing when you started seeing staffing and hiring trends start to evolve?
We absolutely did. And to your mention of being surprised that people didn't return to work as quickly as we thought they would with the high unemployment rates, we had to shift quickly to new strategies to really cast the net to, you know, a broader market that we may not have considered in the past. You know, one of the things I think COVID did as well is really had people think about where they work and what the mission of that company is. I'm reading that half of Americans right now are mentally disconnected to their company because they may not relate to what the companies are doing. And again, COVID changed us, made us think differently. We want more meaning in our life. And that includes really connecting to the mission at where you work. So, you know, that's an advantage for NSM. We have a fantastic mission, but, you know, it's more than that as we go forward. I think a lot of people believe that you lose employees really related to higher pay. And that is really a misconception because we find that, you know, taking a job with higher pay is much lower on the list when we talk to employees about why they leave. Really, the thing that people are most desiring right now are career opportunities and a chance to grow in an organization. So career advancement and use of our career ladders are going to be really important this year so that our employees understand the way they can grow with us. As mentioned prior, work-life balance is a significant request and really a demand that employees have now from their employers. Also, you know, having great leaders is critical in a role. Making sure that you have a leader that cares about you as a person is so important to your happiness. So all of those things really are more highly valued to an employee than just pay. So yeah, we are working to continue to discuss our mission, our fantastic mission, where we provide meaningful work for our teams. But we will not be able to rest on that alone. We're going to have to continue to be creative and progressive and doing things in new ways, because the job market is going to continue to be challenging this year. There's going to be more jobs than there are candidates seeking work. And you know, we will continue throughout this year really thinking about the future of work and how we're going to adapt to these new ways and new demands. And it will be challenging, but we are going to be proactive to create plans.
Yeah, I think those are excellent comments from Anne. And I think the only thing that I would add to those, Lori, is just this concept that, you know, for us to remain the employer of choice in our industry, we have to be more progressive, as Anne has laid out here. We have to listen. We have to respond to our teams. We have to be laser focused on our employee experience. And we believe, you know, deeply that companies that are innovative will determine, you know, over the near term future, you know, who wins and who gets left behind when it comes to attracting and retaining the best talent in our industry.
Speaking of that best talent, let's talk about the younger generations. So for this conversation, millennials who are currently aged 26 to 41, and then Generation Z, the Zoomers, and introduce me to that phrase, that nickname. And the Zoomers are currently aged 9 to 25. So millennials and older Zoomers have different priorities than their parents had when it comes to what they want from their jobs. It's not just about sticking with one job to prove that, you know, you can do it and to put in some tenure there. They really want more, and they really want to feel good about where they work. What have you learned from these younger professionals as you're interviewing them, as they're joining our ranks? What have you learned about what their core values are? And have you gotten any insight into how NSM, for instance, or CRT as a larger industry can really appeal to them? Because as you said, the story for NSM, the story for complex rehab is a great one. You help people to remain independent in their homes, as active as they want to be and can be. So it's a great profession. It's a great business. But how do you translate that to somebody who is a millennial or a Zoomer today?
Yeah, Lori, it's definitely going to create a change plan and lots of communication. You know, many of our ATPs are tenured, and, you know, maybe like even Bill and I are used to the way things have been. And so we're really going to have to expand our mindset, because all industries, including CRT, are going to experience a shift, because we're going to see a big generational change within the next few years. Bill and I were talking about by 2025, the vast majority of our workforce is going to be made up of millennials and Gen Z. So as you mentioned, the Gen Zs are less than 25 years old. These generations think very differently about their careers and their work. They are definitely focused on flexibility. They want to have more choice on where they work, when they work, how they work, you know, lots of autonomy in their roles. They also seek to be paid for outcomes and how they get to those outcomes. As we mentioned earlier around, you know, critical things that keep people at a company, they're very focused on development. So Gen Z and the millennials want to be somewhere that they can grow and learn. That will be critical in retaining them. Right now, Gen Z, their average tenure at companies is 2 to 3 years, and that's expected to drop. And so making sure your environment is a place they feel like they're learning and can grow in advance will be critical. And, you know, this generation just thinks differently. They grew up playing video games. They have an affinity for gamification and quick rewards, quick responses. They want challenges. And so we're going to, you know, have to use those types of things for more frequent rewards to motivate employees. They don't want to wait till for once a year for a recognition program. They want recognition along the way frequently and as often as possible. The generation that follows Gen Z is Generation Alpha. And that group, you know, it's grown up primarily on technology, and they will prefer that in their workplace and will want to leverage technology for flexibility in their roles. They're also, interestingly, this new generation is very motivated and attracted to companies that they feel have a strong purpose and a mission, which we talked about earlier. You know, they really desire to make a difference in the world around them, and they believe in corporate social responsibility. We're hearing this from quite a few candidates already that we talked to. They ask us about, you know, what is NSM doing to support employees to be able to volunteer or be charitable? They want to know that the company is charitable. They're interested if the company has a foundation that they can give to that helps people in our communities. They ask about things like our carbon footprint, which is something I would have never thought about early in my career. And they're just interested in what we're doing to support labor policies. You know, what are we doing to recruit and train people who are disadvantaged? How are we hiring those people in our marketplaces? They're very interested in diversity and what our efforts are to support diversity. So as an employer, we're going to have to really think about all these things we can do to support these candidates who are looking for new things to attract and retain them to the company.
Okay, and I'm going to ask a follow-up if that's okay. I know that NSM has put together or created or facilitate certainly groups of people with a similar interest, maybe you know, an executive women's group or a women's leadership group as one example. I know that you do that to bring people together, give them a forum, but also so that they can advise you as well, so that they can share with you what's going on. And they're kind of a microcosm, aren't they, of your bigger team. So are you considering putting together a group of younger employees, millennials and Gen Xers, to be one of those groups so that they can inform you that way? Would that be on the table?
We are absolutely exploring those things, Lori. So if you really want to stay in tune to what your employees desire, you need to be in a strong mode of listening. We have advisory groups throughout our business and are looking to expand those so that we can really have them speak into the business. You know, they're out in the field, they know our business best, and they know what they desire. And so we're going to be in a mode of listening this year to adjust and continue to just make our workplace more progressive.
Okay, great. And my last question, I think, is especially pertinent to the complex rehab industry, because the average age of complex rehab professionals is older than the average age of professionals in other industries. So ready or not, complex rehab is going to have to face these new ways of measuring job satisfaction, et cetera, sooner than later. So what steps are you taking to proactively address these rapid changes in workplace expectations? And do you have any advice or any thoughts for companies who are also noticing that workplaces are evolving and evolving quickly?
Yeah, Lori, it's a great question. We need to think outside of the box when we're hiring. And this means for us, you know, offering part-time opportunities for those folks that are seeking more work-life balance and flexibility. This also is a great thing because from our perspective, it expands the pool of potential candidates who may have an interest in the industry, but are looking for, you know, sort of non-traditional work scenarios. At NSM, we take the step further by offering full-time benefits for employees that work at least 30 hours a week, and in doing so, having more flexibility there. Because choice in the job market will remain high, it's important to follow through with focus on adequate onboarding and ongoing training and communication for our new employees. We really want to make sure that they feel supported and valued, and they're clear relative to their roles and expectations. All new NSM employees are enrolled in a comprehensive virtual onboarding course and are supported by our training and development teams. As an example, Lori, our CSRs are now receiving an intensive training program, and we will have invested in regional customer service roles to provide dedicated support and onboarding and training of these new CSRs directly and programmatically in each of our regions. Shifting to our technicians, we have the similar approach where we have regional technical service managers who are leading tech training academies, and we have market-specific technician training. We've identified those needs in addition relative to other training programs throughout the company. So the long and short of it, Lori, is we are very focused on flexibility We're focused on ensuring that our new employees feel part of our culture from day one. We work really hard to offer appreciation, compassion, and support, coupled with industry-leading training programs. And we really work hard to set our employees up for success so that they, in turn, can provide quality and timely service for our clients.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Anne. That wraps up this podcast on reimagining the successful workplace of tomorrow with Bill Mixon and Anne Mahaffey from National Seating and Mobility. Mobility management podcasts are available for listening and downloading on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. You can also listen on mobilitymgmt.com, which is our website. And the best way to make sure you don't miss any episodes is to subscribe. Thank you very much to Bill Mixon. Thank you very much to Anne Mahaffey. And thank you very much for listening. We'll be back again soon.